Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula@gmail.com. to learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.
Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Intermediate State Between Death and the Rapture. This message is going to rock your world and rattle your preconceived notion of where the dead in Christ reside until the Lord's return. There is no shortage of false teachings about Christ and the Holy Bible in our current age of apostasy. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, urges him and every disciple to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ be a reality for the lazy studier? Apparently so. That means, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," may not be the words they hear at the judgment, but instead, "thou wicked and slothful servant," a sad indictment indeed. The gift of salvation and the promise of eternal life is a simple truth easily found in Scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that anyone experience eternal damnation. So he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No election in these verses, as the Reformed doctrine falsely conveys. However, there are many other doctrinal truths found in the Scriptures that require diligently digging for the golden nuggets and the pearl of great price. These you must want with passion, for then will they be revealed to you if you search for them. Listen to Matthew 13:44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Enjoy this morning's message as we go digging for precious nuggets of scriptural understanding. This is part two.
"Well, at the flood, the Bible speaks, the fountains of the deep let loose, and the rain came down from the sky. There was that water vapor, that water barrier released and came down upon the earth. And we have much more water on the face of the earth. And we have all kinds of changes in climate, different types of climate, dry areas, very hot, to the extreme colds in the poles. And that's why you had animals that were on the ark that became extinct after they came off the ark, because they couldn't survive. They couldn't find as much vegetation, and they couldn't handle the cold. So there was some of these animals that died off and did not multiply after the flood. But the earth changed drastically. But there's the firmament is called heaven, and it's divided in two. Now let's jump to the fourth day of creation, verse 14. "And God said, let there be light in the firmament in the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs." Okay? "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, which is the moon. And he made stars, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And that was the fourth day. So do you see that you have the atmospheric heaven that extends about 50 miles high? And then you have what we call the universe or space, where the sun, moon, and stars are. That's the second heaven that was created by God. But then we are taught, and you have it in there in your scriptures, Paul said there's an eternal heaven noted as the third heaven. Paul said, and he was speaking in visions and revelation, and he said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." And you have to understand, men were described as angels, and angels were described as men. When man saw an angel, when mankind, a woman or a man, saw an angel, the angel always appeared as a man. Not with butterfly wings on his back, he appeared as a man. And I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. There it is. Third heaven. Third heaven. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. And he goes on and repeats the same phrase, and he doesn't use the third heaven. He uses the word paradise. Don't you think the heaven where the throne of the Father and the Son are and all the angels is paradise? Would you agree? It would be unbelievable paradise. Okay? Number three in your notes there, not underneath Roman numeral two. In the future, there will be a new created heaven. The Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. God is going to create a new universe, and it's not going to have a sun. It's not going to have a moon. It's not going to have a star. It's not going to have stars. But it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And what's going to be placed on that new earth? A new Jerusalem. And there will be the throne of Christ, and there will be all the saints of God on the new Jerusalem, on the new earth, in a new created heaven. But the third heaven is eternal and will have always existed. Okay? Hang in there. Don't fall away. Don't go saying, Pastor, you're off on the deep end here. I don't know if I agree with you. All right, we got a lot to cover. Roman numeral three in your notes. Potential for biblical truth to be overlooked or forgotten. The potential is immense for biblical truth to be overlooked or forgotten. Listen to what D.M. Panton said. Now, these are two books that I have read that have helped me understand this position. And one of them is The Rapture by D.M. Panton. This little book, The Rapture by D.M. Panton, I have so marked up and I keep with my Bible. I lent it to Pastor Dixon and I thought I was going to die. And I didn't think I was ever going to get it back. I mean, it is rich with food for thought and messages and just things that I really hold on to very strongly in the scriptures. He says, now, a truth long overlooked is that no human soul yet stands in the presence of God in heaven. Nowhere does Scripture ever describe the dead as in heaven, speaking of the third heaven. Okay? Revelation 3, 1 and 2. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. What is Jesus saying to this church in Sardis? There are things, doctrinal truths, things that are found in the scripture that are ready to die. The truth is being lost. The truth is being obscured. It is disappearing. Truths are being forgotten of in the scripture. One that we've been dealing with since for 2 years. I took over the Bible study, and really even longer than that, is the kingdom teaching, the kingdom accountability. But look in what happened in the Old Testament. It got so bad with the Jews, they lost the Word of God. The Old Testament discovered by obscurity, discovered from obscurity in the temple, and the Passover reinstituted like never before during the reign of King Josiah. He was one of the last good kings of Judah shortly before they were taken into captivity by the king of Babylon. It says, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. Wait a minute, he's the high priest and they've just discovered the Bible? What happened? It got lost. Nobody priest before them let it get lost. They put it on a shelf and it never was seen again and got moved and it disappeared. And the priests, they read it and they grieve, and then they bring it to King Josiah and he reads it and he grieves and repents for what they have done. And it tells us in 2 Kings chapter 23 verse 21, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. So even the Passover was forgotten about and not kept for who knows how long. But listen to, it says here, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden, or surely there was not held such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah. It means the Passover. And you know, you never hear David, King David, keeping the Passover, or King Solomon keeping the Passover. Now they may have, but it's never discussed. But the Passover was not kept. And we're talking 400 years. 400 years, and the Passover had basically gone by the wayside. And so did the Word of God. So if that happened in the Old Testament, don't you think there are things that have been lost now for 2,000 years since the New Testament has been written? I say yes. There surely has been. I mean, for them to lose the Word of God. They knew that Josiah knew that the Lord was angry with Israel and Judah they knew God's wrath was upon them. And they said, our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Go back and read 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23 and see what kind of revival. Josiah brought a revival. And the high priests, they brought a revival because they read the word of God before the people. They had this huge Passover that they kept. Roman numeral 4, the biblical type forbids it. Jesus, a type of high priest. Aaron, as the high priest, shall bring the blood within the veil of the Holy of Holies. So type, there are types, and I've talked about that. There are patterns that are things on the earth of things in heaven. There are patterns, and we'll see that here momentarily. But in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. I should have put up here a picture of the tabernacle so you understand. There was a whole, the tabernacle had a unique structure. It had an inner tent and an outer tent. You had in the inner tent was divided into two compartments. One compartment was called the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. In the Ark was a sample of manna, Moses's rod that budded was in the Ark. You had the tablets, the Ten Commandments were in the Ark. You had the mercy seat, the cherubims that that extended over, and it talks about them making that in the book of Exodus. And that holy of holy place, only a priest would be allowed to go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. Okay? And that occurred on the seventh month of the year. Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur today is the Day of Atonement. I forget which one is. One, I believe, is the Feast of Tabernacles, and one is the Day of Atonement in the Jewish calendar. I didn't think about looking it up again. I always forget, but one is, most of you know and have, if you've lived in a Jewish community, the Jewish people take off during that time, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, because those are very holy times for the Jewish people. And the Day of Atonement, the high priest once a year would go in, sprinkle blood on the mercy seat for forgiveness and repentance for the national sins of Israel and also the high priest's sins. He would sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. And then outside that Holy of Holies was the holy place where you had the table of showbread, you had the candelabra, the candlestick, and then outside that was the courtyard that was surrounded by the outer tent, and you had the altar in the courtyard. And so all the people could go out into the outer courtyard outside, but the priests were only allowed in the inner tent, in the holy place, and only the high priest once a year could go to the Holy of Holies. All right, so what this is, Leviticus 16:17 explains about the Day of Atonement. It goes into great detail. I just gave you one little snippet of the whole passage that deals with the Day of Atonement. But notice it says, and there shall be no man. Now, Jesus is a type of high priest. He's a priest of the order of Melchizedek and also a order of Aaron in this sense. He's a type of the high priest. The high priest only goes into this holy place once a year to make an atonement. Now, Hebrews paints a picture for us and shows us that Jesus takes the blood of the Lamb, his blood, and sprinkles it in the holy place, the third heaven, upon the mercy seat for our sins. And no man is to go to the Holy of Holies. Look in Hebrews here. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is not the holy place in the temple that was constructed in Jerusalem. This is the holy place, the third heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified by these, but the heavenly things, meaning the tabernacle that God had the Israelites construct, and the temple, first in the wilderness, it was a tabernacle, a tent. King Solomon built a permanent building, stone building, with gold and cedar wood, and built the temple. Those things were a pattern of things in heaven. The temple is a pattern of the things in heaven. So the Holy of Holies, there are three areas I talked about. The Holy of Holies, the holy place, and the courtyard, and where the altar was. So the Holy of Holies is the third heaven, the holy place where the table of showbread and the lampstand is the universe, that heaven, and then the third heaven would be where the courtyard was and the altar where the earth is. The earth is the altar, and we'll see that here in a little bit. That pattern is the pattern of the real heavens. So what it's saying here, let's go back. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, the temple that was in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, which are the figures of the true, if they're figures. When I use the term figuratively, that's the same thing here as what it says, figures of the true. The temple is a figure of the true Holy of Holies. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He went to the Holy of Holies, to the real mercy seat, the one not made by the hands of man, the one that's eternal in heaven, and he is a high priest, sprinkles the lamb, the blood of the lamb, his blood upon that mercy seat. Does that make sense? It's a little complicated, but I'm trying to bring it down to everybody's level to understand. I had to learn it myself. And trying to bring it down is complicated, but it's something we have to understand. Resurrection speaks of rising from the dead, not descending. We see here in Matthew chapter 12, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here, Jonah. Why does it say Jonas? It's the issue of transliteration. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, okay? Jonah, translated from the Hebrew to English in the Old Testament, was Jonah. Jonah translated the Hebrew name into the Greek, and then from the Greek back into the English, we get Jonas. That's why you have Jonas. It's the transliteration of the name. So the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south, which is the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Notice, rise up, rise up, rise up. Scripture over and 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 over again uses the word rise up, okay? That is very critical as we continue on. Baptism is a picture, we dealt with this, of resurrection, rising from the grave. Immersion, not immersion, but not immersed, being immersed in the water, but also that speaks of dying, but emerging from the grave. Immersion speaks of rising up. That's the picture of baptism. We dealt with that thoroughly. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, it talks about rising up. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.